Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Welcome to the Brighton Business Show. This is Vivian Smith. We're broadcasting on 97.2 FM.
The Brighton Business Show on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
And today my first guest is Louise Waters from Louise Waters PR. Now, PR, very amorphous sort of subject. So tell me a little bit about how you would define PR, Louise.
Hi, Vivian. Yeah, I'd say it's all about having a good story that brings attention to what you want to publicise.
Fair enough. Your background wasn't always PR, was it? But you certainly have always been involved with stories. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, I'm a former journalist. I've been in PR for 10 years now. Before that, I was working in Hong Kong and Australia, and then I ended up at the BBC. But then about 10 years ago, when I started having my family, I switched to PR and have been there ever since.
So why the switch then? I mean, it sounds like quite an exciting thing. You're abroad, you work for the BBC. You know, what on earth would make you change course? You mentioned having a family. Was it something to do with that?
Yeah, mainly to do with that, because I was working in BBC Radio, so the shifts really didn't correspond to having a family. There's lots of night shifts going up to London. They're usually about 10 hours long, so there was no way I could really continue to do that while my kids were young.
Fair enough. And I think that's a problem women often have, don't they, in the media, I guess.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. But obviously your previous career has informed what you do and must be tremendously useful, isn't it?
Well, I like to think so, yes. I mean, I think I can spot a good story, and I have what they call a news sense.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm often I can see what's topical, I can see what would fit in. I like to think I've got a good idea of what a journalist is after.
Sure, no, that makes sense. Are you working specifically with particular types of companies, or?
I tend to work mainly with charities and small businesses.
Okay.
Yes, I don't do much corporate PR because I quite enjoy that, because I tend to find you can get more of an interesting story. That's the kind of thing I enjoy. So I'll use the word selling in. There's no money involved, but
no.
It's the pitching.
Pitching, yeah, yes. Sure. Okay. And so you work a bit with charities. I think one of them is an animal charity, isn't it?
Yeah, I work for Cats Protection on a part-time basis. So I've worked with them for quite a while. I'm also working with some charities up in Cheshire that are to do with social isolation and loneliness.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
There's some amazing stories there of people who have been helped through various charities doing horticultural therapy or social activities. It's about bringing the community together, and behind all these charities there are some amazing people who have really interesting backgrounds, and that's a very topical issue at the moment, so it's quite a good one to pitch.
Yeah, certainly depression, mental health issues, particularly in the elderly, I think.
Exactly, it's mainly for the over 50s, the one I'm working with, because they're getting funding from a certain organisation and I'm helping with that.
I see, okay. Yeah. So in what way are you helping? Where would you step in? How would you get involved?
First of all, I'm finding the case studies so I'm writing them up for the website for Brightlife, who's employing me. And then when I'm talking to the case studies, obviously I'm trying to find out what's interesting or different about them.
Because that's your PR angle, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yes.
And so when I spot an opportunity, I can try and pitch their story and see if I can get this little charity that they're involved in some publicity.
Okay. And so an interesting story. Can you give me a kind of example of something that might?
Yes. There's, I haven't spoken directly to the case studies yet, but I'm still waiting to hear back from them. But there's a charity that helps. They do lots of different things, but one thing they do is help younger women who are in danger of having their children taken away or into care.
Okay.
And they put them together with an older woman who's the mentor.
Yes.
And so a woman who's not had a similar experience, but has had quite, say, a tough life. And
so
understands
she's got some
the
sort
issues.
Of knowledge and empathy with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they put them together. And so it has a sort of double benefit. The older woman is obviously feeling valued and useful again.
Yes.
And connected to somebody. And the younger woman hopefully is getting advice and the experience of the older lady. So between them, it's apparently really beneficial. And it's really helped a lot of young women to keep their children.
That's wow, what an amazing thing to do, because you know, society has so many problems, but that's one of them, isn't it? The sort of dysfunctional family. And coming back to you and your company, I know that you said you preferred to work with kind of small to medium-sized businesses. Can you give me a recent example of a type of business that you were able to help with the story?
Yes, there was one recently, Sakala Jewellery. Mm-hmm. A lady called Helen goes to India and sources her jewellery over there, and she works, a lot of her profits go back to charity over back in India, in Asia, I think Nepal as well. And so it's sort of an ethical jewellery line, and recently I managed to get her into the Independent online because they were asking for recommendations for ethical jewellery.
Brilliant.
So obviously I pitched Helen's jewels to them, and it appeared.
That's great. And in fact, I think I saw that one, and that's quite impressive to get in the, what it was it, the 10?
It was the top 9 ethical
jewellery.
Top
9, yes. Yeah, yeah, very jewelry. Good. Yeah. So how would that work? I mean, I think from what I know about you, you don't actually charge a fee unless PR happens, unless a story happens, unless someone is featured. And that's quite unusual, isn't it? So people don't have you on a retainer necessarily. It's almost like a no win, no fee. I know that's very crass, but maybe it's one way of describing it. How does it work?
Yeah, I think that's my USP, because a lot of small businesses don't have a PR budget or
no.
A big one anyway.
They see that as a luxury, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and for big companies that's different, but so what I can do for them is it is the no win no fee service I can offer. So all it involves at the beginning is a chat, really, just to find out their objectives, mm-hmm. what they're looking to promote, if there is a story there. I mean, I will tell them if there isn't, you know, if
okay,
I don't
yes,
think I can
you'd
help
be
them.
The expert on that.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But and I'll try to find something personal about them, because it's people that sell stories. People want to read about people.
Of course.
And I'll try to find out something they're prepared to talk about publicly.
Yes.
That might help promote whatever they're doing that they want to promote.
Sure.
So I'll do that first of all. I'll, you know, get some photos of them, get lots of details. The important thing is, if they sign up to this, though, they need to be contactable quickly, and they need to get back to me quickly, because...
Well, yeah, I mean, time is of the essence, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because I guess these opportunities are fairly fleeting, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. So a journalist will say, right, I'm writing an article about this, I need a case study for that. Anybody know anybody that this has happened to?
Yeah.
And then I can jump in and say, yes, I do. Would you like me to put you in touch?
Yes.
And then I can put them in touch. And if it results in publicity, depending, it could be a website, it could be a blog, or it could be actually in the newspaper or magazine, then I will charge accordingly, depending on the importance of the media that I've got it in.
And that's great, because I would imagine that's quite reassuring. But I know that you've got to have the right kind of business working with you, because not everyone can respond immediately or really understands the kind of, I suppose, the time pressures of this, do they?
Exactly. And I've had a few hiccups along the way where people have said that they were interested, then obviously I can't get them to respond in time. So I'm quite straightforward and I say, look, you know, it's not going to work unless you can react quickly.
Yeah.
Another thing journalists are always looking for is expert comment. So,
For
example, if someone like is an HR expert or, I don't know, a psychologist, that kind of thing, then that's always useful, because they're often saying, oh, I just need a quick comment on this, and all it involves is a quick chat with a journalist, you giving your opinion about whatever they're writing about, and then your business is mentioned in hopefully the national press if it's.
And I guess, I mean, from the marketing people I've met, the marketing specialists I've met, positioning yourself as an expert is a really key way, isn't it, to promote your brand or your company, your organisation.
Exactly.
So that seems like a really good indirect way of doing it. And is that the key, is the fact that it's indirect, someone else is talking about you perhaps?
Yes, I think so. I mean,
you're
I remember
being endorsed by someone else.
Yes. I mean, obviously journalists know what PR people do,
sure.
So they're always,
but the listeners, I mean, perhaps wouldn't see that as a, it's not like an advertorial exactly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, it's it's sort of genuine expert advice, really.
Exactly.
Which is, I mean, the journalist isn't paying that person and they're not paying them. So it's only me that would get paid if they got featured. So
sure.
I wouldn't imagine the listener would ever make that connection or think
and the journalist was unreasonable. Yeah.
No, the journalist wouldn't use them if it wasn't relevant and they didn't have anything to say that was interesting.
Sure. So there's no kind of affiliate scheme or, you know, I think people are rightly, I suppose, a little bit more wary or a little bit more cynical about those kind of things now.
Mm.
But it seems to me that PR is very definitely not that, because you've got to have, as you say, a genuine story. You've got to have something that's worth talking about.
Yes, and I think that's another important thing to bring up. It's really important to target, because if you pitch to the wrong journalist, they're soon going to get annoyed. You know, if they're writing about, I don't know, jewellery, and you give them something about concrete blocks, then they're not going to be very happy about it.
No,
and they're
so ignore you've got you. To protect your sources. Are they, do you still call them sources? What do you call them? Contacts?
Yes, contacts, really. Contacts, yeah. So the more you give a journalist something that they need and that is useful to them, the more they'll come back to you and the more likely you are to be able to give them future stories, you know, even
of course,
if they don't happen to be writing about it at the time, they might consider it for an article, or you can give them ideas as well. Because knowing when I was a journalist, you are always scratching around for ideas and new things
There's
to say and
quiet
new angles.
News day or yes. no news day. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and also new contacts as well, new expert opinion, because I know the BBC has a database where they keep all their contacts for certain things. And journalists do tend to go to the same ones a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's always good if you can get a new name in there, because they do like a bit of variety.
Yeah, and I think it gets boring for listeners if it's always the same sources, commenting or quoting something.
Yeah.
Okay, and how do people contact you? How do they, how do they work with you? What should they do if they want to get hold of you?
Well, my website's louisewaterspr.co.uk,
okay.
So it's Waters without an L,
right.
As in the drink. So I'm online, all my contact details are on there.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to the section where it says no win, no fee, and there's a form where they can sign up, or they can just call me directly and have a chat if they prefer to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm always willing to have a chat.
And I'm guessing that any story they think might be newsworthy, or perhaps a very particular brand or product or something like that.
Yeah,
service, whatever.
Exactly. I mean, the brand doesn't have to be new or different, but the person who's promoting it needs to say something new or different, or
okay.
to have a but that's something I can discuss with them.
So take might be, or yes.
Exactly. Exactly, if we can come up with a different angle. Yes.
Yeah, okay. And so when you're putting something together, do you actually then write an article around that, or is it really that you're more the go-between and you're, as you say, pitching or describing the story to the journalist or to the press?
It depends how much of a hurry the journalist is.
Okay.
What I'll do, I'll initially do a write-up, and mm-hmm. I'll give it back to the client to have a look at, to make sure I haven't said anything untoward or anything there.
Well, that's refreshing to know, because I know often there are inaccuracies.
Yes.
I think that's a problem a lot of people have with the media.
Yeah. But that isn't what gets published. That's what I would give to the journalist,
sure.
and say this
but
is the information.
As long as what you're giving them is
yes,
correct,
exactly.
that we're on to a better chance, I suppose, then,
yeah.
aren't we? Yeah.
But usually they want to talk to the client directly themselves,
okay.
and get their own sound bites or quotes.
Okay.
But I'll give them an idea. I'll write it up and do a short summary. I usually find that works best, and then...
Well, I guess if it's saving them time, because everyone's got these time pressures, so you're making their job much easier for them.
Yes, and that I see... Yes, exactly, and I think I am the go-between, so...
Yeah.
I mean, anybody could do it if they had the time, but it is time-consuming, and because that's my job and I'm looking out for those opportunities all the time, I'm much more likely to be on the ball and spotting them rather than somebody who has to sort of... who's running their own business. They don't really have time to troll through.
No, I think small business owners often imagine they can do all of these things, but
yes.
with the best will in the world, it's not possible to do all of them, and certainly not to do all of them well.
Exactly. And also, if they don't have experience of journalists, then they might not know exactly what they're after or how they want it. Or
yeah, or how to present it, I guess.
How to present it, exactly.
So your average day, I mean, presumably you do an awful lot of scanning of media. I mean, do you kind of order loads of papers? How do you work? What's your average day?
Oh, it's all changed now. It's all online now.
Okay.
So I can work remotely. I can work with anyone in the country. I don't even need to meet them anymore.
Yeah.
My average day would be, obviously reading the news, seeing what's out there. Having a look to see what journalists are asking for.
Okay.
Seeing what kind of stories they're interested in writing about. Obviously working with my existing clients and writing up anything I need to write up and talking to them. Photos are hugely important for print media.
Sure.
Sometimes a photo will sell a story without much of a story. You know, if you have
yes.
a good picture of something and it's unusual and interesting, they'll often put it in, and then you get a mention, and it's a very easy hit, really.
Okay, and because, you know, we are mainly visual, aren't we? And I guess people, again, the people scanning the media or possibly just having a quick glance, they don't have much time either, so their eye will be drawn to something which with a powerful image attached, visual attached.
Yeah. And I must also clarify that regional media and national media are quite different in their needs.
Okay.
Regional media do like press releases still. They like everything written up for them. So often, if you send them a press release, you'll see the whole thing printed in the paper.
Okay.
Because they don't have a lot of time if they like the story.
So that's a gift for them.
Yeah. Whereas national media will very rarely do that. They like to do their own thing because they have more resources.
Okay.
Although increasingly less. But yeah. And also, obviously, regional media and local people are always of interest to them that have done anything interesting. So,
someone local, they usually put where they live, don't they?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, just to give a little bit of colour.
Local hero did blah, blah, or a new business that started. So they would do something like that. And that's another thing I often have to explain to people because they say, oh, I'd like to be in the Sun. And you just sort of think, it's not going to happen. Unless you're going to, do something extraordinary.
Yes, okay.
They're not going to write about your business, whereas a local paper might or a local website.
One of your tasks, I suppose, when you start working with someone is to work out what's newsworthy about their business and also what kind of market is going to work better for them. So as you said, whether it's regional or national or international maybe.
Yes, and that's one of the first things I'd ask them. What are your objectives? Who are you trying to reach?
Okay.
It's all about who you're trying to reach. And sometimes people come to me and say, I want to be in the media. And really who they want to talk to are the people in their, in their field.
Okay.
And that's not going to work because, you could try the sort of professional press for that field, but there's no point putting it in the national press or even in the regional press because the general public are not going to be interested in that particular
thing. So that would be more kind of an online, a specific
website well, they do
or
have,
forum, would it? That sort of thing?
Yeah, it could be. You can have particular magazines for particular areas of work, but I would say more social media. Talk to the people that are interested in that kind of thing. If you want to spread the word about something, the people that are likely to hire you or or use your services.
Yeah.
The general public are not necessarily going to be interested in that. So you've got to think carefully about where you want to pitch. And also, the other thing people get confused about is with advertising. So advertising obviously pay to put something in the media, and you can control the message. The thing to remember with PR is you can't control the message.
No.
You can do your best,
sure.
But there's no guarantee the journalist is going to write what you want them to say. They can't misquote you. That's not allowed. So what comes out of your mouth, they are not allowed to change. But it doesn't mean to say they're going to include everything you say.
So that still could be misconstrued, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yes. I think people have to be quite careful, don't they, really?
Mm, yes.
Okay.
And I think you have to understand the target media you're talking to, because obviously if you're going to pitch to a sensationalist magazine and you're telling them quite a sensitive story, you've got to be prepared for the fact that they are going to jazz it up and make it sound much more dramatic than it was. And it might, and if you don't like that, then not a good idea to talk to them.
Sure.
Yeah. So often, I'm talking to a lady at the moment, and one of my case studies, her son sadly got killed when he was 19. And I've been pitching her story to women's magazines, but she's okay with that because she wants to raise awareness.
Okay, so she's happy for more of the personal stuff to come out.
Yes,
because
exactly.
That's, in the end, what will make people interested or catch people's attention.
Exactly. Okay. And at the same time, in the article, we'll talk about the amazing thing she's doing for this charity she's working with.
Okay, yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So she's happy to do it.
But she's going into it with her eyes open.
Because
I certainly have had experience myself and also know people who have been quite badly stung by that, wanting to present something of a sensitive nature in a particular way and kind of not appreciating in a way that that's not always within your control.
Exactly.
So it's good that they've got someone like you to kind of guide them through it and tell it how it is, I suppose.
Yes, I do warn them that I say I can't control what they're going to write, but do be prepared that it might have a really sensational headline.
Yes.
For example, I'm thinking of the Channel 4 programme, The Undateables.
Right.
The actual stories are very lovely and sensitive.
Yes.
But the headline, I mean, the title is awful.
Yeah.
And I often wonder why people would agree to go on that with
strange, really. Yeah.
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 So I just sort of say, if you can bear that, if you can swallow that,
yeah,
then I can get you some good PR from this area. And it's very widely read.
Sure.
And it's a good way of getting your message out. And if you're reaching your target audience, then sometimes it's worth doing. But that's obviously up to the client to decide.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show with Vivian Smith. And today's theme is PR. If you'd like to sponsor a show or tell me about an event you're involved in, or come along as my guest and tell us all about your business and what makes you tick, then please do get in touch with me. You can contact me via the Radio Reverb website, or you could find the Brighton Business Show on Facebook or Twitter.
Radio Reverb.
I probed into its mysteries. Every clue told me a different story. Radio Reverb.
When you're working within PR, would you say that all news is good news, perhaps, rather than no news is good news? Would you say that any kind of exposure could be helpful because it's brand awareness or
not necessarily?
No,
because it can be really negative. For example, for a charity, if somebody says, "Oh, this charity takes people's money and they don't spend it on whatever they're supposed to be spending it on," they don't want that kind of PR.
No,
and that's another thing I can help with if somebody has written something horrible.
Oh, so
and
you
untrue.
Can kind of help to redress the balance.
Yes,
a little
because
bit.
You do have a, especially if it's been published, you've got a right to reply. You can,
okay,
you can write to the editor, whether they choose or not to publish it is up to you, but up to them, sorry.
Yeah.
But then on your social media, you can come out and say what you want to say, but you have to be careful about crafting the message, because if you start criticising people, then you don't look very sympathetic.
No, that's the trouble, isn't it? So you even if you have a case, you've got to be careful how you say it.
Exactly.
So
it's got to
again,
be phrased.
That's something that correct. you would help them with.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's really important for people to know, because there must be many instances, I would have thought, where the message kind of gets distorted or warped somehow, and then it ends up with quite a lot of angst and grief all round.
Yes, I think it's a balancing act. You've got to decide how much it's going to affect your business. Would many people read this? Is it worth me going out into the public domain and battling against this one?
Because again, that might backfire, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, if you haven't been transparent and honest, then that might be unearthed at a later date anyway. So you've got to be very careful about knowing what you want to say and for it to be true.
Yes. Okay. Well, that sounds reasonable enough, but I suppose it's really worthwhile people knowing this. So you had this great success recently with the ethical jewellery brand.
Mm.
What kind of businesses would you work with? You said small to medium, so I'm guessing you mentioned HR. So are there other sort of professions that you would?
I'd consider
choose?
Anything,
okay.
But like I said, I'd have to make sure there was something I could PR.
Okay.
I wouldn't pretend to anyone that I could get a story in the news if I didn't think there was anything really interesting about it. I mean, I'm sure. Not dissing them, I'm sure their business is interesting to a certain sector, but
it's got to have wide appeal.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Or I'd say to them, do you want me to pitch to the media that deals with your sector? I'm happy to do that.
Okay,
but
yes.
I would manage their expectations.
So you can, can guide them wisely as to what they realistically could expect.
Yeah. Yeah, and they might be better off just doing their own social media.
Okay,
which is I'm not an expert in social media. I can give them guidance, but I would put them onto a social media expert if that was something they wanted to explore. But I know what social media is for, and I can tell them right. I think you'd be better off.
So you can help narrow it down for them as to who they should be working with.
Yeah, or
that's
if they
really
want
to, helpful. Yeah,
yeah, or if they want to do advertising again, I don't deal with that. But if they, I could advise them. I say, if they want to promote some particular event that's going on, you could try a bit of PR. But your best bet would be advertising if it's something that you want to get into the national press.
Fantastic. And what, just briefly, I mean, I know we're going to play a song, your choice of song. Can you tell me a little bit about why you chose it or why it's a favourite of yours?
Well, it's Talk Talk,
okay.
which is a lot of what I do, part of my job.
Very, very appropriate.
Yes,
very apt.
I thought it was quite apt, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really into 80s music, but this is one that's really stood the test of time for me.
Okay.
And it's called Life's What You Make It, and it's a philosophy I agree with.
Fantastic. So I've been talking to Louise Waters from Louise Waters PR. And do you have a final word? I mean, obviously people can get hold of you on the website. Mm-hmm. Anything else we've missed out or haven't mentioned?
I was just thinking my tips for PR is, I mentioned it before, but it's about having a human angle.
Okay.
I think about the public interest.
Yes.
If you think outside of this, if I read this in the paper, would I be interested?
And that's a really good guideline, isn't it? That's a really good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Radio
Reverb, 97.2 FM. So many thanks to my guest, Louise Waters. Thanks very much for coming in, Louise. And here is Louise's song.
Radio Reverb.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show with Vivian Smith, and my next guest is Jasmine Robertson. And Jasmine, which company are you from?
My company is This Is Publicity.
Okay. And obviously you're in PR as well, because we've got a bit of a PR theme going on today. But can you explain what your specialism is?
Yes. So I specialise in lifestyle and interiors and art as well. And
okay.
Yeah, so I do PR, but also social media.
Right.
And event management as well. So
I guess they all kind of work quite well together, don't they?
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that your fellow collaborator isn't able to be here today, but can you tell me a bit about her?
Sure.
and her company?
Yes.
As well?
Yes. So at the moment I'm collaborating with Maxine Brady.
Okay.
She's an interior stylist and blogger and journalist as well. So she styles and writes for most of the kind of main interiors magazines in the UK.
Right.
And she can't be here today because she's actually doing another workshop in London.
Excellent.
So she's on her way up there to get everything ready for this evening. So, yeah, we've basically come together. We met through Instagram, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yes. And, yeah, we felt that our skills together really combine well with
sure.
her product styling
yeah.
Expertise mm-hmm. and my PR. Really, when we've designed this workshop that we're doing later on in April,
yeah,
it's basically giving businesses a real rounded overview of PR and images and how they can create their own. They're both the same.
Okay, that sounds good. So, and you're hoping to give people tips when they're doing their own kind of styling and interiors, is that right? Just tell me a little bit more about what's involved. So people will come along. What kind of, who is your target audience? Who's going to come along to this workshop?
For this workshop, mm-hmm. it's really aimed at small businesses and small brands,
okay.
independent brands, probably in Brighton.
Yeah.
Some are coming from a bit further afield.
Okay.
But those that have a visual service or product
right.
That can really benefit from some professional styling expertise to help them essentially pitch to press
okay.
and get coverage.
Because I was talking just now with Louise about how it's important to pitch the right people, get the right kind of coverage, because there is certainly such a thing as the wrong kind of coverage
absolutely.
In the wrong place. And it all seems to the general public a little bit hit and miss. But obviously, if you've got an expert like yourself, then people will be ending up on the right pages or on the right screens or the right website or whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as a small brand or mm. business, you haven't got an awful lot of time. You're kind of doing a bit of everything.
Yes.
And to just do PR for PR's sake is not going to be very helpful. So you need to make sure that where you're pitching is actually going to return some brand awareness
okay.
that's going to benefit you or hopefully create some sales, which would be the kind of
sure.
ultimate. So, yeah, you really need to know your target audience, your demographic
okay.
and what they're reading and what they're consuming. So what podcasts are they listening to, which radio stations, magazines,
okay.
blogs, you name it. And once you have a kind of really clear idea of your customer,
yes,
then you can kind of work backwards from there.
Okay. And you mentioned radio stations. I mean, obviously, there are other radio stations available apart from Radio Reverb. So would you be looking primarily at local radio stations or national, or does it depend on the brand or the product?
Yeah, it very much depends on your company and
yes.
who your audience is. So if you're a local shop,
yeah,
and you don't have an online presence, then absolutely you're going to be wanting local radio coverage, yes, because your options are very limited further afield than that, because if you've got no online presence, then national press aren't going to write about you.
Okay.
So you're really only talking to the people on your doorstep. So
yes,
local radio is really important for that.
And then also then local magazines, local newspapers, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, there aren't that many.
No. So, okay.
Yeah, you've got to be, you've got to kind of get to know those journalists really well.
And I'm guessing that's where you come in, because, you know, I understand that if you're the kind of go-between, then the press are trusting you to bring to their attention the right kind of, you're not going to waste their time with a story that doesn't really have perhaps as much appeal to their listeners or their audience or,
yeah,
their readership,
exactly,
or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it's part of the workshop actually is helping brands really understand what makes a good story.
Okay.
Because I've seen all sorts in my time.
Right. What's the most extreme one? Without, you know, mentioning any names, oh, what's the most extreme one you can think
of? Well, it
of?
Was a local company, actually,
okay,
but it was a long time ago.
Sorry, you don't need to say who
no,
it was.
No, I won't, don't worry.
Your secret's safe with us.
They were adamant they were going to get national coverage off the back of their office move. And
really? That doesn't, yeah, sound very exciting.
No, it's not. No one cares about that. Absolutely.
That's a kind of
not
everyday story, no?
Yeah, no, yeah, you wouldn't even... probably not even think about writing a blog about that. You'd
no,
probably just mention it on Twitter or something.
Yeah, yeah. Moved office today. Yawn.
Yay.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, unless you've done something really amazing, you
okay,
know, but no, they hadn't, unfortunately.
Right. Give me an example of a really nice, juicy story that you were able to get involved with recently.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose the one that I'm working on at the moment is the opening of a new venue. It's actually a London-based venue,
okay,
rather than Brighton.
Yeah.
But it's quite exciting because it's a development of a new area, which is quite central.
Okay.
And yeah, next to the where they're kind of building this new venue, it's going to be the world's first sky pool.
Wow.
Which is quite nail-biting.
That sounds
really
terrifying to me.
Yeah, it's a swimming pool, which is, oh, like 50 metres up in the air, and
right,
it broaches two buildings, basically two apartment blocks.
Okay.
And it's got a Perspex base.
Oh, no.
So,
don't sign me up for that. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So if you're swimming in it, you can see the ground,
oh,
50
no,
metres below you.
Terrifying.
And if you're on the ground, you can see people swimming in the sky, essentially. But yeah, that I was thinking about it, thinking, oh my God, what
the
if,
stuff of nightmares.
What if it, you were, you know, just had your feet in the end of the pool and it fell off and you'd get sucked by the water down to your watery grave? Yeah, it was...
So a horror story. Could that make good PR? I guess it could.
Well, thankfully, what we're promoting is actually ground level.
Excellent.
And,
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, I can't say too much about it. Because,
no, okay. Or you'd have to kill me. Okay, that's fair enough.
It will be exciting, though. Yeah, it's a kind of a multi-concept venue.
Right.
Which I think we're probably going to see more of. So it's going to have a few different elements to the space.
Okay.
So I can tell you a little bit, I suppose. So retail, mm-hmm, beauty, mm-hmm, and food and dining all in one area.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. What's your background, Justine? I mean, obviously, you know, you've told us a bit about what you're involved in now, but what's your background? How do you come to be doing what you do?
Okay, so I started out, I didn't even know what PR was,
okay,
when I got my first PR job. So I didn't go to university because I couldn't decide which subject to study.
Right.
So I stayed at college for an extra year,
mm-hmm,
and then I was doing, you know, I thought, you know what, I'll just try my hand at a few different jobs, and if there's something I really like and I need,
yeah,
to get a degree to progress, then
yes,
I will. And I ended up doing a Prince's Trust course.
Oh, fantastic. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's like a 12-week program.
Yeah.
And it was all around confidence and team building. And it was really fun. It was hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that course was 2-week work experience and a placement. And we had to secure the placement, we had 2 days. And that was the Thursday and the Friday before the work placement was due to start.
Right.
So I was frantically phoning around every single company I could find in the phone book. And I started off with interior design firms,
mm-hmm,
because I really loved interiors.
Ah, yes, okay.
And I mean, I was, how old was I? I was 19 when I did this course.
Right.
And
well, surely you're only a couple of years young.
Yeah,
older than that now.
Of course, I'm 21. But all the interior design firms in Brighton didn't have any work, especially not at that short notice.
Right.
So I then went on to calling around party planners,
okay,
and half of them didn't even answer the phone. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for these 2 weeks? And the team leader said, I think you'd be really good at PR.
Oh.
I was like, well, what on earth is that?
Yes, because a lot of people, I mean, I was saying that to my previous guests, a lot of people don't really know what PR actually is. It sounds very vague, doesn't it?
Does. It does. And then he's always public relations. And I was like, I'm still none the wiser, sorry. but then luckily, my first job, the founder of the company, her husband actually worked for Prince's Trust. So when she saw my kind of CV roll in and my phone call.
You seemed like a perfect fit
for
her.
Yeah, she said, oh, you know what? I'm going to give you a chance. So I went in and she said, when do you want to start? And I was like, oh, Monday. She's like, okay. Okay, then we'll make it work. So I started and did, I wrote my first article, which was, it was published in New Currents magazine, which is, I don't know if you remember it. It was a Brighton magazine.
I can't say I do, I'm afraid.
Which was around quite a few years ago, probably about 15 years ago.
Okay.
It's not around anymore. But I was so proud of it.
Yes, that's a real achievement, isn't it?
I got
particularly
such
at a
buzz.
Young age. Yeah.
And it was actually for an art gallery as well. It was for Art at Five, which is on the road just by the town hall. So yeah, it was real buzz and I really enjoyed it. And I was sorting out the library and doing press cuttings and basically starting right at the bottom because I didn't know anything else.
No.
And at the end of the 2 weeks, they said, you know what, we're really happy with the work you've done. Do you want a job? And I was so happy. So I started in that PR agency and worked my way up through the ranks. And then it was sold to Brighton Housing Trust. And then I ended up moving from the agency in-house at Brighton Housing Trust and covering some maternity leave. So I was Andy Winter's PA.
Okay.
And did all sorts of fun stuff with Andy, kind of getting him onto Radio 4 and BBC and various others. And yeah, just amazing coverage for which is, it's a, you know, I think the largest homelessness charity in Brighton. So that was kind of my journey. And then from Brighton Housing Trust, I decided to set up on my own. And I had one of the clients from the PR agency, which actually closed shortly after. But I had clients there that I'd been working with that wanted to kind of continue working with me.
Well, that's what happens, isn't it? I mean, obviously, it's all about people. So if they kind of trusted you and felt that you had their best interests at heart, that's kind of how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, so I kind of fell on my feet, I suppose. My first client going out alone was Domestic and General. So they're one of Brighton's largest employers and massive international business. So having that, you know, on my roster was really good for someone who was 25 years old and just starting out on her own. So that was a real confidence boost. And because, you know, I was so happy for them to kind of take a chance on me, they really got all my attention.
Gold service.
Exactly. Yeah. So over the years, I've kind of done and worked with various other companies. And of course, then there's the rise of social media and Instagram. And that's really changed things for me because over the last probably 4 or 5 years now, I'm on my second home now as a homeowner.
Okay.
And I've been kind of documenting my renovation progress, I
Great,
suppose.
Okay, yes.
And blogging about it as well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of taking off now. It's kind of got a bit of a life of its own. And I really, really, really love it. And I thought, you know what? I'm kind of working with various different businesses and then doing this on the side. Wouldn't it be amazing if I could kind of bring my passion and my work together?
Yes.
And I'd worked with, I have an interior designer on my books.
Okay.
And, I really love working with the art galleries, the artists and the designers.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, I'm going to start to specialise purely in lifestyle art and interiors. And that's where I'm at now.
Okay. And your niche kind of often finds you, doesn't it? I mean, you might not have set out to do that. Well, you did, as you said, you didn't even know what PR was.
No.
But it kind of found you,
I thought back to those days in the Prince's Trust. And actually, the first companies that I was calling around were interior design companies.
Ah,
and I
so
thought,
it's all
why?
Come full circle
exactly.
then.
Why has it taken me this long for the penny to drop?
Yeah, well, I think that happens in life, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's all part of the journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now, you know, I feel like my kind of creative urges are being fulfilled, as well as me kind of putting to use my skills in PR and communications and writing. I want to now share that with small businesses and brands that I know are struggling to afford PR. I
mean, brilliant.
So here we are.
Radio Reverb.
So you're listening to the Brighton Business Show with Vivian Smith on 97.2 FM. You can listen to or download the podcast on iTunes or via the Brighton Business Show podcast. If you'd like to sponsor a show or tell me about what you've been involved in, or maybe even come on the show as a guest, contact me via the Radio Reverb website or find the Brighton Business Show on Facebook or Twitter. And today we're talking to Jasmine Robertson from thisispublicity.com. And Jasmine, you talked at the start about this really exciting workshop that you're co-hosting with Maxine. What's Maxine's surname again?
Brady.
Okay. And it's all around interiors and styling and getting the right kind of publicity. So tell me a bit more about where and when will the course be taking place?
So it's happening on the 17th of April, which is a Wednesday, and we've timed it from 6:30 till 9. So that gives everyone a chance to leave work and shut up their shops and come down. So there'll be some refreshments and drinks and things for people to kind of ease into the evening and network with one another. And then we'll sit down and kind of get to work. So it's going to be split into two sections.
Right.
So the first half is predominantly PR. Mm-hmm. So I'll be kind of giving everyone an introduction to PR, a bit of a crash course.
Okay.
And everything from writing a press release, but also questioning whether you actually need a press release, to, you know, kind of looking at alternative ways of pitching to press.
Mm-hmm.
Plus how to approach journalists as well, so looking at pitching etiquette.
Okay. Because I'm sure there are some real do's and don'ts where that's concerned.
Absolutely, and I'm afraid everyone's different.
Right.
So it's also about kind of getting to know the right people for your business. And I think it's just common courtesy as well to get to know the media you're pitching to. So we'll cover all of that, and then Maxine will cover product styling.
Okay.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be products. She'll give you lots of tips on what makes a good image and a styled shoot. So whether you're an interior designer or you're a maker, or even if you sell artwork, for example,
right,
there'll be lots of helpful, interesting and practical advice to kind of making your products or your services look the best they can look.
So I'm guessing that by the end of the show, not the show, the workshop, people will have almost like a template of things that they need to remember, things that they should avoid maybe, and some really good tips and ideas to act on.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
We're going to have a couple of interactive sessions to kind of break up us talking, basically.
Right.
And that will give everyone a kind of an opportunity to think about their own business. What are the key stories that they can kind of pull out of their business, and what kind of imagery they can create to support those stories? So it'll be really practical. So they'll kind of go away thinking, yes, this is what I'm going to run with. This is how I'm going to pitch it in. And this is what I need to
create. So they'll go away really essentially with an action plan then.
An action plan, and hopefully really inspired as well.
Yes, of course. Well, that sounds really exciting. And will you be actually sort of taking some photographs and things as you go along? What
yes, will you, I'm sure we will. Yeah, it'll all be on Instagram stories.
Opportunity, surely.
Yes, it will all be on the stories. And we're hosting it at The Projects as well, which is the new co-working space down on Middle Street.
Yes, we had Beth from The Projects came in and talked to us a little bit about how it's set up. And it's a great space, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
We really, really liked it when we took a look around. So I think we're going to do our kind of welcome drinks and networking in that small, lovely kind of living room area as you go in, which is just so inviting.
Sure.
And then next door, we've got the larger room with a large round table and all the gorgeous magazines. And that when we saw that space, we were like, yep, this is the place.
Yeah. And that must be key, you know, really, because you're all about visuals and things looking right and things looking good. So I would imagine it's much more inspiring for people to come along to that kind of space.
Absolutely.
In order to kind of get their ideas on the table and ask your advice. And
so we're the kind of people that will judge our Airbnb and decide whether we're going to stay there or not based on the decor. So we kind of treat our places that we're going to hold a workshop in the same vein.
I think that's fair enough. It's that's your profession, so why not?
And we it really matters to us.
Yeah, of course.
As shallow as it may sound.
No, I think appearances make all the difference. And so how can they go about booking? How can listeners go about getting involved with this? Because it does sound very exciting. You've got some places still left.
Yes, we do have a few places left. So it's the workshop is called Style and Pitch.
Okay.
And you can find it on Eventbrite. So if you just type in Style and Pitch in the search bar, you will find it. Alternatively, there are links in my Instagram and Maxine's Instagram. So mine's Brick Dust Baby, mm-hmm. and also This Is Publicity. And Maxine's is We Love Home Blog.
Okay, fair enough. That should be nice and easy to remember. And I'm taking it that you've got some other things coming up as well that they could, if they're not able to make this one, that they could maybe see what's in the calendar for the
yes.
future.
Yes, well,
what's coming up?
Nothing confirmed as yet. However, just from doing this one and promoting this workshop, we've been inundated actually with people saying we love the idea, we really want to come, but we can't come right now.
No.
So it looks as though there's quite a bit of appetite for the same event, but in September.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, so just after the summer, I think, I think we've probably got about six people already who are
Great.
Kind of chomping at the bit for that one. So I think that will probably go
what's
ahead.
What's your maximum number? Because I imagine you don't want too many people want people to get around and talk
yeah,
to everyone
so
personally.
It's going to be very kind of interactive and quite tailored as well. Mm-hmm. So there will be opportunities for one-to-ones with me and Maxine at different points throughout the evening.
Okay.
So we're limiting it. Well, I think it's sort of between 10 and 15 people.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually when you're running a workshop, 15 is about the max,
yeah.
isn't it? To really put everyone to get really
exactly.
good value.
But because there's two of us,
yeah.
we can kind of get around the room.
Sure, yes.
And then kind of take a side each.
And obviously you know each other well enough to, you know, be very comfortable working together, working in tandem like that.
Yeah. Definitely.
And it is fun, isn't it, to be able to collaborate with people, like-minded people.
Yeah. Yeah. Maxine's great. She's really, she's got a lot of energy and she's always up to something new, which is fantastic. She's,
yeah.
And yeah, she's always on her Instagram story, so you can always see what she's up to. And we've run another event together in the past, but it was like an Instagram interiors meetup.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it at Christmas, not last year, before. And we had loads of fun. So
yeah.
we thought, you know what, we work really well together.
Yeah,
let's do something else.
That sounds great. And it's fun, isn't it, to be kind of collaborating with somebody on something you're so passionate about. You're both so passionate
yeah.
about.
And I think as well, Maxine's, when she, we've kind of worked at each other's houses as well. Because she's also freelance and she's, you know, working on magazines mm-hmm. and then doing various other things. So she's always kind of here and there and everywhere. So, we were working from my house one day and she was kind of going around doing a house tour when I was upstairs putting my makeup on. And then she's like, you know what, do you mind if I pitch your house to a magazine? I was like, okay, fine. So hopefully my house will be in a magazine soon.
Excellent.
Once it's finished decorating it, because it's still a work in progress.
Well, so what next when you've finished? Presumably the next thing is to buy another property and do it up, I guess, you know.
Well, that was the plan,
yeah.
but I'm really attached to this house, so I really don't want to sell it.
No, well, you could do up another one to sell it on. You don't need
yeah.
to live in it, I guess.
So I do have a rental as well, which I did. It's actually my dad's old house. So,
right.
yeah, that I did a quick renovation on at the end of last year.
Uh-huh.
But I also didn't want to get rid of it.
So
I just
like
love
you get
them
attached
too much.
To things.
I know. So I've got someone living in there now.
I was going to say just rent it then. In that
yeah.
case, that's the answer, isn't it?
But I think I'd love to buy a really rundown house in Hastings
mm-hmm.
and do it up, because there's just such beautiful property there and it's
yes.
really cheap.
Absolutely.
That's a spoiler.
It's an interesting place, isn't it, Hastings?
Yeah,
very
and they've put loads of money into the town.
Mm.
And you know, I'm speaking to a lot of artists and a lot of them are actually moving to Hastings because there is such a flourishing art scene. And that's kind of when you know that an area is going
yes.
to become
exactly.
really cool
yeah.
When all the artists move there. So I think it would be an amazing place to buy.
Mm.
But again, I don't think I'd want to get rid of the house. So
sounds like you're going to have a property empire before too long.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be the dream.
All right. So can you just tell us again how to get hold of you? I know that they can find the event on Eventbrite. But what's the best way to get hold of you?
So either via email, which is jasmine@thisispublicity.com.
Okay.
Or via Instagram, so @brickdustbaby or @thisispublicity.
Okay, that's perfect. And I know that you've chosen a song today, because I like to try and get my guests to choose a song. And you've chosen Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders. And I have to tell you, I was very thrilled to hear that you wanted that song, because it was my first single that I bought.
Oh, amazing. Oh, my God.
So I'll happily play this
yes.
song. Can you tell me why you love it so much?
Well, I saw them play it live.
Great.
At the Brighton Dome not too long ago, which was incredible. She's amazing.
She's still really got it, hasn't she?
I know.
She's got such a fab voice.
Yeah, really amazing. Yeah, it was a brilliant gig.
Lots of energy.
Really good.
And,
But I thought of this song because it kind of really covers what me and Maxine do together.
Okay.
So we're kind of throwing all of our skills in the middle. But part of being a PR person, but also part of being an interior stylist, you have to be really creative. You have to use every part of yourself.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
And you have to use your imagination just to get noticed.
Yeah, that's very good. I like it. It's all becoming very clear to me now why you chose that song. So, Justine, thank you so much for coming on. That was absolutely great. And I wish you all the best with your workshop and your property empire and everything else
to
come.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to say a big thank you to my guests this month. We had Louise Waters from Louise Waters PR and Jasmine Robertson from thisispublicity.com. So that's it from me this month. This is the Brighton Business Show and Vivian Smith signing off. Thank you for listening.
Let me tell you about a thrill.
Radio Reverb.